Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we will be continuing our Nothing Will series through the book of Romans, and today's teaching is entitled Fruitful Faith. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and empowering message from God. Enjoy and be blessed.
Ready to get started? We in our series, Nothing Wills. Amen. We love you. Amen. You know I love you. Amen. We in our series, Nothing Wills. Amen. It's been wonderful, and I've been enjoying myself teaching slowly, going through, you know, Romans. And I just love it, man. I thank God for what he's doing in the lives of God's people in my life. And I love you all. I love you all so much. And I appreciate you. Amen. Fruitful faith. Turn to you in your Bibles, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Through whom we all have access. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad, or has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrate his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we have been saved from wrath through him. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. All right, fruitful faith. Pose a question to you this morning. If you're happy today, chances are it's because of a relationship, renewed relationship. Our greatest happiness in life come out of restored relationships. A lot of times, a job, you know, it do it for a little bit. But our greatest joys come out of relationships, renewed relationships, fresh starts of relationships, and also our deepest hurts. You ask anybody, what's your deepest hurt? It always got to do with a broken relationship, what somebody did, how somebody mistreated. Amen. And also our greatest joys. Fresh romances. It's a chance today. If you're happy, it's because of a relationship. Well. Amen. Or if you're sad, or if it's depression hitting you, it's oftentimes tied to a person. What is it about people? What is it about people? To take chances on another person, fulfilling them. What's in man that drives them to want to be in relationship? All of man. All of mankind got this drive. Amen. And it's something in, what is it with people that, I mean, if you bought a car and it always broke down on you, and you remember that last time it broke down on you at the light. Amen. And you swear, oh God, you wasn't gonna get that car, you weren't gonna get a car like that no more. I'm finna dump this one. Why go back and buy it again? Amen. That boy's something else. We love you, bro. Why go back and buy it again? Why take another chance on it? Why take another chance in relationships? It's something in man. You got hurt the first time, remember? It's something in man that drives them to relationships. Amen. And our greatest joy comes from fresh, renewed romances and fresh, renewed reconciliation. Someone your mother, your father, family member, being reconciled, things are forgiven. Those fresh relationships brings in a fresh joy in your life, a fresh peace in your life. And I submit to you today, loneliness is an indicator that God exists. Loneliness is a symptom that God actually exists. And what if we was made to be in relationship with God and it's broken? Not what if, it's a fact. But all of humanity, whether you believe in God or not, can't stop talking about him. Everybody got an opinion about God. Whether they believe in God or not. You got atheists sitting in their living room talking about how they don't believe in God, but they still talking about God. They still talking about God. All of humanity. And if you ever been in a rough relationship where you was really in love and that relationship got severed. And I talked to many people and they still talking about the person. Why is it still, it's still hope there. They wish it could be restored. They wish that relationships can still be, it's a chance that we can still have. And what makes a man step back in it hoping that it could be? Amen. Again and again.
Okay,
amen. And we all done did it. Amen. But I'm proving a point here. It's because we've been designed to have this relationship with our Father. Amen. We're designed to be in communion with God. Amen. And this is so important for all humanity to know. That Adam, when he sinned, he severed that relationship. Like a father and his son, a mother and a daughter, that bond between a mother and her daughter or her baby, that she's bonded and nurtured, and that separation, amen, now has caused a tear in the relationship. Amen. If we look at it from an interpersonal aspect. And that bond has to be restored. And Jesus made a way for that bond to be restored. Amen. With man. Amen. So all of man is driven to be in relationships and want to have somebody. And that's an indicator that there is a God. And that relationship was once torn. And Jesus came and restored it. Amen. Fruitful faith. Fruitful faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 in the Amplified. Listen to this. Therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Hey, amen. I grew up in the church, man. You know, I believed in Jesus. But it was a belief that didn't produce any fruit. Amen. Grew up in the church, and it was a belief like the devil believe and tremble. But it don't produce righteousness. Amen. It's a knowing that God exists or that I agree with God mentally is the belief I had. Amen. A lot of people have a belief that don't produce any fruit. And we're talking about fruitful faith today. How do we have fruitful faith? So I grew up in the church, and I had a belief about God, but it was just mental. It was just I knew that God existed and that he died on the cross for the sins of the world. And it was just a mental agreement with that fact. But it still didn't produce no fruit. Amen. Because when that female looked at me crazy and flirted with me and smiled, and I flirted back, and then one thing led to another, and there is no fruit. I don't care nothing about God then. That's how I grew up. You know, hey man, I believe in Jesus though. You can't tell me nothing. I believe in Jesus now. You told me I didn't believe, I'll fight you. Amen. But if we analyze the fruit, amen, it wasn't that belief is a dead belief that the devil has. The devil know God exists, but it don't produce Jesus. It don't produce any fruit. There is a belief that's dead. There is a faith, that's belief that the world has that don't produce Jesus at all. Amen. Then there is a faith when you believe from the heart, where you can't help but to produce certain type of characteristics without even trying. So I grew up in the church, went out into the world, got hooked on all kind of drugs, and I found myself in a place where I started getting progressively worse in the world. That means, you know, I went to drugs. We started snorting cocaine, smoking blunts, you know, the world. Women. So one night I was laid up in my bed and God came in my room, man. I was like, when the last time I prayed? You know, it's been a while, man, since I prayed. And God came in my room one night and I just started to cry. I was laid up with this one beautiful woman right here, you know, and I just started to cry. And I told God, you know, okay, Lord, you know, it seemed like he was harassing me or something. You know, I'm like, okay, Lord. And I was crying, but it was all silent because, you know, you got to hide all that because that's weak in the world. You know what I'm saying? My buddies better not find out I was crying in there like a baby. Amen. So the next day I got up, cashed my check, went to the dope man house, went to the beer store, my normal day. And especially on check cashing day, that's how it was. Amen. So the next day, went and did that, and this guy came over to me and my buddy's house, and he was trying to sell insurance. And it was, and I said, man, I guess I can sell some insurance, you know, get a couple of quick sales to my pops and maybe grandma and them. I went over to his office later, everything checked out. He said, I can join. And then he asked this one question at the end. He said, what about Jesus? And I had totally forgot how I was just boohooing in my bed the night before, right? Totally forgot. And so when he said that, you know, I got hit with those emotions from last night. And that one tear came down. And he said, come to my house. I got something to show you. He seen that one tear come down. And he said, come to my house. I got something to show you. And as I was driving over there, man, behind him, I was so lost in thought. I was so lost. The enemy was attacking my mind. I didn't know it was the enemy then, but these pressures about me fixing my life came to me. What, you gonna stop having sex? You gonna stop drinking, smoking? You finna start going to church or something? What you finna do? You know, the enemy put this pressure on me. He said, "You don't even know this dude." Like, I just met him that day, right? And I'm following this cat over to his house, right? And I'm like, and so all these thoughts hit me. And before I knew it, we at his house. You know, I didn't even know. I was so lost in thought. I didn't even know I was turning and stuff, man. I was so lost in thought. So when I got in his house, he set me down. He read Acts 2. They was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Then he read Romans 10:9 to me. Romans 10:13, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when he said that, the only thing I can relate to is when I was little. My daddy used to walk around the house. See, he was a preacher. My daddy used to walk around the house, and he made us get on our knees and call on Jesus. And so we'd just be sitting on our knees and just playing Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we was just calling on Jesus for nothing, you know. But we didn't know how to pray, so he didn't know no better. And he, you know, so when he said that, that's all I knew. That's all I knew. That came to my mind. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I was sitting on his couch. My hands and stuff were sweating, man. I had weed in my pocket, beer in the trunk. And I'm sweating, like, and he's standing over me like, "You ready?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready." You know, I didn't know what was about to happen. But I said, "Yeah, I'm ready." So I lifted up my hands, and I said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And about the fourth time, and ooh, Lord. Whew. Every time I love talking about this stuff, man. Holy Ghost come back just like fresh. And when I called on Jesus, something warm hit my head, went through my body, man, and I was crying like a baby. And my head was like, "What is going on?" You know. One side of my mind was like, "What is he doing to you, Lord?" I thought he was doing something to me or something. And the other side was like, "This is so good. What is this?" And ever since then, I've been talking about Jesus. I went right after that, took that weed and smoked a blunt with my homies and told them that Jesus was real. Now, as I was in the middle of smoking that blunt, Jesus said, this the first time ever in my entire life, I know that stuff. Hey, it's the truth though. Hey. Right after that, and I'm going to tell you, this is how Jesus started teaching me, though. Right after that, as I was lifting that blunt up to my mouth, talking about Jesus, talking about, man, something happened to me, Jesus said, "You can't talk about me and smoke blunts." Come on. Come on, Jazz. First time in my entire life that I felt like smoking blunts was wrong. Wow. And when that happened, that was my last blunt, right? Then he started showing me other things that he started bothering me about my life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like stuff that I did freely. He started bothering me. And there's something about, and I was happy, man. I had a joy and a peace that came on the inside of me that I couldn't explain. But people saw it. People saw it. He changed my whole view of how I saw people. Before, if you was in my life, I was getting something out of it. It was an exchange going on. That's how it is in the world for real. Whether you know it or not, it's an exchange going on. People ain't in your life just because they just love you. It ain't happening in the world. You benefiting them in some way. Amen. Or they benefiting me. It's some kind of exchange. You smoke one, I smoke one. That's how it is. and better not stop smoking. That they gone, man. And then he started showing me who my friends was. And then he started showing me people don't really care about you. And he put me around people that really do care. Because when I said Jesus, they smiled. And they was happy that I had Jesus. You know, that was like, man, cool. I'm finna hang around these folks. So when I said Jesus out in the world, oh, okay. All right. Good for you. It wasn't no joy and exuberance about my life, but when I came to the house of God, that's when it became. Amen. So some fruit that's going to appear naturally is joy. Yeah. And it's not by you trying to be happy. It's off a restored relationship. Amen. How do you have fruitful faith? How do you have fruit that comes naturally? That comes without trying. And that's one thing that I noticed in my walk. I didn't have everything together, but it was a peace in my heart that I didn't have before. It was a joy there that I didn't have before. Amen. And then Jesus started teaching me how to tap into it, how to cultivate that joy, how to win. And let's keep reading before I go there. I'm sorry. Romans, verse 2. Through him we have access by faith into this remarkable state. This Romans 2 in the Amplified. That's good. Thank you. Through him we have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely, securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and confidence, assurance, experience, and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. And not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardships, distress, pressure, trouble produces patience, endurance, and endurance, proven character or spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confidence and assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints because God's love has been abundantly poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that naturally appears when his love enters our heart. Learning to rejoice in our sufferings and tribulations is a mandatory practice as a Christian to have fruitful faith. I must clarify, not to rejoice because of our suffering. Excuse me. But rejoice in our sufferings. Because God's love and what he did on the cross, that joy will always be there. That fruit would always be there for you to partake of. All right? So how can we shift into joying in our suffering? Because things going to happen, man. And y'all all know, tribulation, everything's not just going to go right for you. But how do we keep that joy? You remember that old saying, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Y'all remember that? And then they used to say, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Now, that's so true if we remember that. Why are we happy? Why are we joyful? Are we joyful about what he did for us on the cross? I love expressing my testimony because it reminds me how I was. While I was a sinner, Jesus came in and changed me. And then he put in me a joy about this change, this new life. Do you know you can always go back to that moment and grab some joy for today? Do you know that you can go back to what he did for you on the cross and it'll produce joy today? Do you know that in your troubles, in your persecutions, in your stresses, in your pressures, you can think back on what Jesus did, and that's how you can have joy about this situation? Not just how God going to turn it around, but how he already turned you around. Remember how you used to be? You remember? We didn't think nothing about God, and he interrupted our lives. And we chose him. And he came in and gave us a peace and a joy that we didn't have before. And you can go back to that anytime you want. And just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Look, this is my saying. You'll hear this around here. I'm not going to hell no more. I was on my way to hell. And you can give God some praise, and the bills are due, the baby's crying, you got negative in your bank account. You can give God some praise and go back to what he did for you on the cross and say, thank you, Lord, in your troubles. You can go back to what he did for you on the cross, and you don't have to ever worry about your personal and your circumstances that's going on right now because of what he did for you. Because that stuff didn't give you no joy, no way. You remember your joy came from the Lord. You remember that time you called on him and he came. You repented and the joy of the Lord hit your heart, man, and you saved now. Nobody couldn't tell you nothing. I'm saved, man. Forget all y'all, man. Shoot, I'm walking tall, baby. My conscience clean. Amen. The Lord came in and cleaned my conscience, man. Nothing could have got rid of that guilt. Nothing could have got rid of that guilt. Only faith, only trust, and looking to him, and he cleaned me on the inside, man. And you always go back to that, no matter what's going on personal right now. Why? Because in my troubles, while this is happening, it's producing in you something. It's producing character. It's producing a resilience in you. It's producing a perseverance in you. Amen. Not a house. That's right. You know God do bless us with a house. But he blessed. He want us to be built up inwardly. Yes. Where we can stand when something happens. Everybody going crazy at work and you sitting there just like. Praise God. Amen. Layoff, praise God. Layoff, and they like, what? We having a layoff. You getting laid off, praise God. Thank you, Lord. At least I'm saved. At least I'm filled with Jesus. Amen. 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 The job didn't put, you know, I mean, we love a man, maybe, but praise the Lord. Being able to stand in tests. Amen. Being able to stand under pressure produces something in you, man. Come on. Amen. They just cussed you out, but you ain't cuss them back. Okay. Person cussed you out going crazy like, what? You ain't going to cuss me back? No, I'm going to bless you. Right. Oh, come on, Jeff. Amen. That's what Jesus taught me. That's what he did for me. Yeah. I turned my back on God. And the Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, he died. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love towards us while we was yet. I'm telling you, while I was at my worst, the Bible says, that's when God said, okay, Jesus, go die for him. While I was at my worst. Yeah. Come on. Amen. And then all he asked me to do is treat others just like he did me. Oh, how do we do that? We have to really go back and remember. We was a skunk, man. We don't deserve this. This out of God's love for us. Yes. That all this can transpire. We have communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we remember this in troubles. You can't forget this in troubles. This has to be something you remember on a constant. This has to be something you wake up and say, man, I'm glad I'm not going to hell today. Amen. Because what Jesus did. That's right. If not, we'll make life will speak louder than truth. Oh. Life will become what's important to us. This is so powerful. Life will become what makes us happy. Amen. Life and what happens in our life will dictate to us how we should feel. Amen. And as we start growing, Jesus progressively giving us an understanding not to put our affections on this stuff and those people. And as you become more aware of this, then you will see clearly what's transpiring, what the enemy is doing. And we'll forget all about our salvation at times. I done did it. plenty of times until Jesus taught me. Amen. Not to let them, you start trusting in them. You start looking to them to make you happy. Amen. You know, you only learn these things as you mess up.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? It's not bad that you mess up. This is so powerful. Listen to this. It's not bad that you mess up. It's bad when we don't get to Jesus to teach us how to stop keeping messing up. When we keep buying that broke down car for no reason, you don't know why you're buying it. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You're like, man, why did I do this again? You know, he'll start revealing to you these things because we like the song said, powerful, my brother. We can't shape ourselves, y'all. Unless he mold us and shape us, we can't do it, man. You know, I even told the Lord, Lord, if you don't teach me, I ain't gonna know, Lord. Lord, if you don't change me, I ain't gonna do it.
That's right.
I mean, that's how I done talked to the Lord.
Come on now.
And I ain't know if, you know, people probably said it's wrong, but I told the Lord I don't feel like reading, I don't feel like praying, and I don't feel like going to church. But I said, Lord, if you give me the desire,
come on, lay it out.
I'll do it.
That's it.
Because, just imagine wanting to do everything God say. Like, you really want to do it. Because we really do what we want, right?
Okay.
Amen. And I always use this example. I go to that refrigerator and get that butter pecan bluebell ice cream. Butter pecan, you know what I'm talking about. I got a witness. Bluebell ice cream. Because I want it. I want it, right? Amen. He waking up on it, man. Woo, boy. That bluebell got you, don't it? I can relate. But the reason I run to that refrigerator, you know, whenever I'm amped to spend that $7 for it, then because I like it. That's my point. I like it. I desire it.
Yes, sir.
It's easy for me to go in there and get it, right? It don't take much. It don't take much at all. I go in there and go get it because I like it. I desire it.
Yes.
All right. What if you had desires about God in this way, like we do at the ice cream? What if it's a way that grace can come in and be placed on your heart where you just want to do it? You just want to do it. I got to have it.
That's good. That's good.
But that word, Jesus, church, prayer, the things of God.
Come on now.
Amen. It can be done.
Amen.
Yes.
And that's how you can have fruitful faith. Because it's not about you trying so hard to generate. It shouldn't be that hard. But it all comes from faith. It all comes from what he did for you on the cross. It all stems from that power that flows from Calvary.
Yes.
To empower your life. Will you be fixed on Jesus? Fixed on his love. Amen. Not about trying to fix yourself and do everything right. But just being honest with God. Amen. Where joy comes naturally and peace with God. There's no more fighting between me and God.
Yeah.
Amen. These things come out of you naturally. And one thing you can tell about a saved person that I found out is they might be screwed up. I mean, like I was screwed up. It took a while for Jesus to get me to a place where he can mature me. Amen. And get all the smoke out of my life and the drink and the people. But one thing you can find out, you can ask them, you mentioned Jesus, they'll have a peace about themselves. You have a peace that you didn't once have before. You have a joy about God that you didn't have before.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And these are the things that we should be focusing on. Amen. Go to John chapter 16, verse 33. This is so good. It's right here going. Praise God. Okay. Praise God. John chapter 16, verse 33. Here goes some more scriptures to back up how we should be in trouble, or the strength that we gain from in trouble. What do we go to? What scriptures we go to gain strength to remind us about how we should be in trouble? Amen. So I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Praise God. It all starts when you got converted, when Jesus came in. That peace came in. But it's a peace that you can have as Jesus communicate to you too. He'll give you a word that give you a peace. He said, I've told you these things that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations, trial. In the world, that's we in the world, you have tribulations, trials, distresses, and frustrations. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain and undoubting. This is so important, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. Praise God. Boy, that brother right there. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a share of feelings with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. And Jesus said in John 16, 33, he says, but in the middle of 33, he said, but be of good cheer. He said, okay, yeah, you're going to have troubles and trials and frustrations. Stuff ain't going to go right. You're going to get laid off. Amen. People are not going to do right. But Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have these things. He says, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Then he said, the Bible says he was tempted at every respect or every point, yet without sin. So Jesus was tempted in the same test you're going through right now. The same struggles that you're going through right now. Yet Jesus was homeless too. He understands. Amen. He understands. But he knows how to come out of it. He understands your weaknesses. He just don't understand the sinning. He was tempted with the same temptations you was tempted with, but didn't fall in them. Amen. So how we should receive that? How we reciprocate that information into our lives? I need to get to Jesus to teach me how he did it. Amen. I need to be seeking Jesus. How did you pass this test I'm going through right now? Because he said he conquered it for you and deprived it of power to harm you. Okay. Amen. And then he said, what we should be of good cheer about? That fact.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. That he went through the same test and trial that you're going through now. And he says, be happy about that. Not about your struggles, but about the fact that you have the creator of the universe living on the inside of you. You have Jesus who loves you so much,
yes.
Amen, and he's living on the inside of you and passed the very test you're struggling in.
Right. Come on now.
And all you got to do is take a peek over that shoulder and see the answer he picked.
Amen.
It ain't even about you being smart enough. It's not even about you trying to, I got to be strong through this test. No, let's go to Jesus and see how he did it.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not in it by myself.
That's right.
The pressure don't have to fall on me.
That's right.
And how to fix this.
Come on.
This is why we should be of good cheer.
Yes.
This is why we say, ha, ha, ha.
That's right.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Amen. And be jolly. about our test. That's why we can have joy in the middle of our struggle, because Jesus was already tempted in this disregard, in this area, and yet without sin. He didn't sin in it. And he's living in you and me. And he's want to transfer that information to us. As we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't fix it. Unless you teach me, how shall I know? Amen. And I remember when you came in and I ain't have nothing together. My whole life was screwed up. And he came in and kicked the worst test I had in my life was darkness. The worst test I had in my life was darkness. And he came in and put the boot to it. And so if Jesus did that while you was a sinner, how much more will he do for you today? While you're seeking him, while you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're seeking him and trusting him, how much more will he do it today? How much more? If he came in while you was a sinner, you didn't have nothing right. And he came in and gave you a peace and a joy. How much more will he help you? How much more will your faith produce? How much more? That's something to get ecstatic about. It's something to get happy about. Amen? He loves you. He loves people. He loves people. I love you, Destin. Thank you for coming, bro. He loves you. He's not going to give up on you. Right. Amen. Amen. He was tempted, and we was powerless. We was powerless. And the Lord came in. Off a restored relationship. Amen. And how much more we should be trusting him today. What kind of fruit can we produce today by a restored relationship, a renewed romance? Your first love. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. And it naturally produced a peace in you you didn't try. It naturally produced a joy you didn't try.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week. God bless.